for security for a Trump campaign event at the Target Center last Thursday night. An Obama event in 2009 was charged just $20,000. Mayor Jacob Frey, a frequent Trump critic, explains.
President Barack Obama was coming here on behalf of the Office of President of the United States, not as a campaign event. President Trump is coming to Minneapolis as a campaign rally.
The Trump campaign described Frey as a radical leftist mayor. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's very special 8th anniversary edition of Taking Care of Business, I'll be talking about your worth and how people see you. I'll continue my discussion on how to market your small business with a tried and true method, and I'll talk about why the fear of a recession could be good for investors. It's Thursday, October 10th, 2019. I'll have all that and more right now on the 8th anniversary edition of Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we always check the weather. It's currently 61 degrees at 12:05. And today it'll be mostly cloudy with a few showers this evening, a high of 65 and a low of 51 degrees. For tomorrow, it'll be cloudy throughout the day, a high of 61 and a low of 50. For Saturday, it's going to be partly cloudy, a high of 71 and a low of 51. And for Sunday, it'll be partly cloudy with a high of 68 degrees and a bone-chilling low of 43. And a current check of the financial markets shows that the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 213.55 to 26,559.56. S&P 500 is up 25.26 to 2944.66. The NASDAQ is up 70.24 to 7973.98. Oil is up 44 cents to $53.02 per barrel. And gold down $13.50 to $1,499.30 an ounce. All right, well, everybody, welcome to the program. This is it. This is the 8th anniversary of Taking Care of Business, coming to you from the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. We've been doing this for 8 years now, our 8th anniversary.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Pour a cheerful toast and fill it, happy anniversary. But be careful you don't spill it, happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
And with a little help from the Flintstones, we have the happy anniversary jingle. Wanted to play that because it is unique when you can have a radio program going for 8 years in a row. Only missed a handful along the way, but still, just a great time and a great service that this station is for our listeners. We have so many different hosts and different programs. We have counselors, we have lawyers, we have home builders, we have the sports guys on Friday. We've got mental health professionals in here, and there's something, I think, for everyone. And I think that it's a good resource for you, because a lot of times they bring it down to the personal level. And that's what I like most about it, is that it's something that is personal. These are people you know. These are people that you see in the community hosting these radio shows. And a good idea for you to be listening in to them so that you can learn firsthand from them what is happening in and around the community and what you can do to make sure that everything is going well for you. So whether it's tax advice from accountants or mental health advice or something like that, at least there's something there probably for everyone. If you're listening to the program, currently you are probably listening through your computer, through a smartphone, tablet, or other device, and we'd ask that you open up another URL browser and open up Facebook. Search the program, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano, and like and follow that page. You'll get updates every week on things happening that may affect the business world, your personal world. Sometimes things happen politically that may have an impact on Main Street, and not our Main Street, but every Main Street, and I'll post that there before we bring it to the show on Thursdays. So that's always a good resource for you to check out our Facebook page. At this time, we have the business quote of the week. It's brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. It comes from Anonymous. They've written a lot of great things, by the way. But what Anonymous says this week is, when you start seeing your worth, you'll find it harder to stay around people who don't. And I want to talk about this today because I've had a number of people contact me, and they don't feel like they can charge more for their product. They don't feel that they're worth, if you will, what they're charging. And I want to put that to rest, and I want people to start thinking a little bit differently. I had one gentleman who, I'm no longer working with because philosophically we just clashed a lot. But his point was that he looked at his value and the value of his product more based on the customer. If they were dressed nice, it seemed like they had money, he'd charge them more. If they came in all dirty and dusty, well, maybe he'd charge them a little less or give them a rake. That's not how you price product. But seeing your worth, what are you worth? We've talked about this. Salary-wise, product-wise, your business, where do you place your value? And a lot of people don't. They'll see annual sales and they'll say, well, I'm only doing $200,000 a year, or I'm doing $400,000 a year. That doesn't matter. How does that compare to other people in your industry? Are you in the mid-range? Are you in the high range? That's where you're going to find your value. There's a story floating around Facebook recently that speaks to today's quote very well. And it goes like this. It says, a father, before he died, said to his son, this is a watch your grandfather gave me, and it is more than 200 years old. But before I give it to you, I want you to go to the watch shop on First Street and tell him that I want to sell it and see how much it's worth. He went and then came back to his father and said, the watchmaker said he would pay $5 because it's old. His father said to him, go to the coffee shop. So the son went to the coffee shop and came back and said, the coffee shop owner said he would only pay $5, father. The father then said, go to the museum and show them that watch. He went and then came back and said to his father, they offered me $1 million for this piece. The father said, I wanted to let you know that the right place values your value in a way right. Don't put yourself in the wrong place and get angry if you don't. Who knows your value and appreciates you? Don't stay in a place that doesn't suit you. Know your worth. And that's the thing. And I've talked around this a lot over the years, knowing your value, how to position yourself. And I want to make sure that you work very clear on this, that it's not just a dollar sign at all. And if you want to be successful, and if you want to be viewed as someone who is successful or who has worth, then you've got to start hanging out with worthy people, okay? If you want to gain more money, are you going to do it with your current set of people that you're hanging out with? And probably not, because they're like you. It's a comfort zone. But how do you reach those thought leaders, those key opinion leaders that will help you get to that next level? When I used to go to the Crown Trophy annual meetings, I never wanted to hang around with people who were doing $200,000, $300,000 in sales. I wanted to hang around with the store owners that were doing $1 million in sales because that's the level I wanted to be at. And now the funny thing is 10 years later when I go to the meetings, people want to talk to me. And it's because I've built my business up. We've become a leader in the industry, and now they want to seek out my advice. How can they grow their business? And that's what I'm talking about with worth, making sure that people appreciate you, not just for the person that you are, but because of the value that you bring. So think like a king, act like a king, be a king in your industry. Last Friday night, had a great experience. You know, I announced high school football games for Bridgewater Raritan, and through the magic of Facebook, two friends connected with me. One lives up in Warren County. One lives in Albany, New York. And they said, we'd like to get together and come see you announce a game. I'm like, you're going to drive from Albany, New York to watch me announce a football game? So Larry Matei, who was my next door neighbor growing up, and Dave DeLuca, who lived across the street from Larry but moved away when he was like 13 or 14 years old, both came and watched the game with me. Then we went out to Zinburger to talk a little bit further. But what a great opportunity to reconnect with these guys. For Dave, it's been 43 years. For Larry, it's been probably over 25. But what a great opportunity for us to get together again. Really had a good time with that. And then other big news this week. Back in July, I was interviewed for Advantages Magazine, which is a trade publication for the promotional products industry. And they asked, what was the most desperate sales technique you ever used in order to make a sale? When we come back from the break, I'll go over that with you. It wasn't really desperate. It was definitely creative. And we'll go after that right after this.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime for help. Happy anniversary, pour a cheerful toast and fill it, happy anniversary, but be careful you don't spill it, happy anniversary, oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
And there it is, the Flintstones once again with the happy anniversary song. And it is our 8th anniversary here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. So glad you could be joining us today. So before the break, I was telling you I was interviewed by Advantages Magazine about what was the craziest or most desperate thing you've ever done in order to make a sale. And sometimes you have to get creative in sales. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, what is the weirdest thing you've ever done in order to make a sale? And, you know, so I wrote back to the gentleman and I said, well, here's my story. So years ago, I was pitching a project, and the buyer for the company, the contract was like $130,000, $140,000, somewhere in that neighborhood. And he goes, I like you. I like your proposal. But we've never done business with you. What would make me want to do business with you? I said, well, look, I have to fly to the home office in Chicago over the weekend for a meeting. Let me talk to them and see if there's anything else we can do to make this proposal better for you. And he goes, you're going to Chicago? He goes, where's that? And I told him the town that the office was located. And he goes, oh, man, I used to live one town over. Oh, if you're going out there, you got to try pizza at Lou Malnati's, which is a famous pizza chain in the Chicagoland area. So I said, look, if you give me the contract, I will send two. I said, what's your favorite pie? He said, sausage. I said, if you give me the contract, I will get you two pizzas from Lou Malnati's and have them shipped to your house. He goes, I'll bet. So the next day, I'm in Chicago. I've already met with the folks at Lou Malnati's and shipped out the pies overnighted. And he calls me up on my cell phone, and he sounds a little bewildered, a little dumbfounded. And he says, my wife just called, and she said that there's a box on our front porch from Lou Malnati's, and that the packing slip says two sausage pies. He goes, I have no idea how you did that. My mouth is watering right now. I can't wait to get home and fire up the oven to make these pies and taste a little bit of home, but you've got the contract. So that's the some substance of my article in Advantage Magazine. And I had a quote in there that said, sometimes it's more important just to listen to what your client wants and deliver on that rather than what you want in sales. So that may be helpful to you if you're in business, because a lot of times what I find is that business owners are more pushing their agenda than listening to what the customer actually wants. And when you do that, it turns the customer off, first of all. But second, it's more, it shows that you're only interested in your end of the bargain. And the customer will definitely be turned off and turned away by that. So listen to what they want. Listen for those little classic touches. I used to, when I was a recruiter, I had a gentleman, I told this story before, where one day I called him, and we'd been trying to connect for weeks. He couldn't do it. I called him, and he said, look, Jim, I definitely want to talk to you, but I just remembered today's my anniversary. I got to go get something for my wife. I'm leaving at lunch so I can take care of that. I said, no problem. We rescheduled the time, and I put on my calendar his anniversary, and I diaried it for 1 year with a reminder on the day before. Every year after that, I always sent him an email saying, hey, Jack, don't forget, tomorrow's your anniversary. Get something nice for your wife. Every year I got this appreciation, you know, email from him, and it usually led to a couple job orders as well where you say, oh, man, you bailed me out again. These guys are extremely busy, so I get it. So one little email just reminding him that, you know, it was his anniversary was enough for me to get job orders year after year and stay in his good graces. So whatever you can do to make yourself different from everybody else, to listen to the customer, that's what's going to make you memorable. Be different to be remembered. Last week I talked to you about how you can market your small business. There was one item after I listened to the program that I think we left out, and I want to talk to you about that today. And that is a word-of-mouth strategy. Now, you've heard me say this on the program before from Earl Nightingale when he said that the best form of advertising is a satisfied customer with a big mouth. No better advertising than having somebody out there acting as a ambassador for your brand, if you will, and telling people about your business, about you, and about your product. So a word-of-mouth strategy can be another great way to market your small business, and we can create a lot of business from our circle of influence. So don't take this for granted. A great way to get started is to ask people for reviews, find out how people learned about your business, and follow up with customers shortly after they make that purchase. but have a plan for what to do with that information when you receive it. Thank you notes go a long way and encourage customers to keep talking about your business with others. Basically, you have to have a call to action for them. A book I recommend that can give you some insight on this is Talk Triggers by Jay Baer and Daniel Lemon. It helps give you a way to talk about your business. Remember, we can all influence, so learn to talk about your business to meet your customers' needs. And when you get that feedback, somebody writes you a quick email. Hey, Jim, or hey, Bob, you know, really appreciate you coming through for us last week. Gave you an incredible deadline. You met it. You know, you did great. That's something that you're going to want to be posting on Facebook, on Instagram, on your LinkedIn page, something that you, if you can include that in your website as testimonial, obviously get the person's permission first. Maybe you take off their last name. You say Tony D or something like that. But you're going to want to include that information because when a customer is searching for you and they see those kind of comments and they say, wow, this guy really came through, that's who you want to be attracting to your business. So don't keep this information for yourself. It's feel-good stuff. It's warm and fuzzy stuff. It's like, oh, they love me. They love me. It's like Norma Rae. But you have to share that information and make sure that everybody starts to love you. And that may be, that word of mouth may be what gets it started. So do not dismiss, do not discount word of mouth promotion. And make sure that you're always asking for those Facebook, not forcing people. But if someone is going above and beyond and telling you, oh, man, you guys are the best, hey, would you do me a favor and, you know, put that in a Google My Business review or on a Facebook review so that, you know, we can let others know how what a great job we did for you. That's important. You're going to want to do that for your business. I want to talk to you a minute. There's been a lot of talk lately about whistleblowers. And I'm not talking about Washington. I'm talking about the referees in the blue, in the black and white striped shirts on the NFL. I'm only kidding. but there is a lot of talk going on in the news and in, you know, talk shows and things like that about the fear of the next recession. And economists are on both sides of the fence on this. There are some who say it'll be worse than 2008. There's some that are saying the recession may be coming, but it won't be that bad. There's others that are saying we see no indicators that there's any form of recession in the next 18 to 24 months. And I started thinking about this for a while, and I was like, are we creating that self-fulfilling prophecy? If we keep talking about a recession, will we create a recession? If people keep thinking, recession's coming, I can't buy that car, I can't buy that house, I can't buy that piece of clothing that I wanted to get, are we then basically creating a recession? Not really sure. But one person is saying that the fear of a recession actually bodes well for the stock market, and that's the Ariel Investments co-CEO Melody Hobson. Now, recession fears can wreak havoc on retirement plans and nights of sleep, but they also can do wonders for the stock market, says the leader of a multi-billion dollar investment firm. Now, in a newly released interview taped last month, Ariel Investments co-CEO Melody Hobson says worries of an economic downturn offer up a trading opportunity that some may not expect. The fact that we are on a recession watch probably bodes well for the stock market in a very weird way. Hobson, a longtime proponent of value investing and admirer of Berkshire Hathaway CEO Warren Buffett, invoked her financial role model to explain why. As Warren Buffett says, the market climbs a wall of worry, and that worry that is out there continues to create opportunity, she says. Now, on Friday, a mixed jobs report functioned as an economic Rorschach test, confirming the recession fears of some while allaying the doomsday concern of others. On the whole, markets rallied on the news. The jobs report came after a week of troubling data that included a drop in manufacturing activity for the second consecutive month and a World Trade Organization prediction that global trade will fall dramatically in the coming months. Now, when panicky investors turn their backs, that gives savvy traders a chance to find undervalued stocks, Hobson says. Ariel Investments co-CEO appeared on with Andy Serwer on Yahoo Finance and said, even though we've had this tremendous run in the stock market over the last decade, we're still finding value because when companies disappoint, they basically get shot, she says. They get left for dead. And it's those businesses that get left for dead that create an opportunity for us as value investors. Hobson, again, is the co-CEO of Ariel Investments with assets totaling $12.9 billion. She worked for the past three decades there. Her TED Talk on challenging racial inequality given in 2014 has been viewed by more than 3.7 million viewers. She made the comments during a conversation that aired in an episode of Yahoo Finance's Influencers with Andy Serwer, a weekly interview series that with leaders in business, politics, and entertainment. Now, for her part, she says she does not see evidence of an impending recession. We might see the economy slow, but we're not seeing a recession, she says. We just don't see it right now. This is the point. Instead of everybody just worrying about the next recession, here's a financial analyst saying it's not there. It's not on the radar. And when we typically talk about the next recession, we're focusing on 6, 12, 18, 24 months. And in her crystal ball, it's just not there. So speaking before the release of October's job numbers, she said, the recent employment data suggests an economy with strong upsides. When you look at some basic statistics, the employment numbers are so compelling. We've seen some wage inflation, which helps with consumer spending. Consumer confidence has stayed very, very high, and there are a lot of positives. I would say that my view right now is the market certainly is fully valued, she adds. However, we think the fundamentals, especially in the U.S., are still very good. So, again, it comes back to what do you feel? How are you seeing it in your life? Do you look at value investing and do you say to yourself, this is an opportunity for me? Now, when I ask that question, I also asterisk it because last week I reported that 42% of Americans have no savings, no investments for their future, for their retirement, or that they will run out of money in their retirement. I encouraged everybody at any age, teenager, 20-somethings, 30, 40, 50, 60, it's never too late to start investing into some form of a retirement account. The sooner you do that, the more will be there when you finally leave. Ask yourself, do I have $20 a month, $40 a month, $60 a month, whatever it is, to invest? The answer very quickly will come by. I also gave you some hints last week on ways to save money, even up to $100 a month. You cut your own lawn, there's $50. Instead of going to the salon to get your nails done, you do your own nails, and maybe you save $30 or $40. Really quickly, you can get up to $100 a month. Give that to a broker and let them invest it. Work with them if you want to be aggressive or you want to be passive, and then start building for the future. Now's the time to do it because as we start seeing companies slip that and their stock prices fall, that's the time to invest so that when they grow back up, you're riding the wave with them. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a quick news break. When we come back, we're going to talk about why the retail sector is continuing to bleed jobs. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The advance of Turkish forces into northeastern Syria is now into its second day. The Turkish president saying the air and ground offensive has killed over 100 what he calls terrorists in the invasion of Syria. It's unclear whether those killed, though, were fighting with the Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces. The UN Security Council due to meet today to discuss the situation. The Turkish invasion began after U.S. troops were pulled from the area. Two of the president's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani's business associates, are now being charged with conspiracy and campaign finance violations. The case linked to efforts to get Ukraine to investigate former VP Joe Biden and his son. An unnamed member of Congress also referenced in the federal indictment that was filed in New York City. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
Investment mistakes? Oh boy, I've seen some doozies.
Ken Fisher, founder and executive chairman of Fisher Investments.
Things like being too conservative, ignoring the long-term erosion of your wealth from inflation, or trying to time the market. And if you're retired or close to being, you may not have enough time to recover. So use your noodle and call for our free guide.
13 retirement investment blunders to avoid explains how anyone can stumble on the road to retirement. With errors like working with a non-fiduciary advisor or mutual funds with nosebleed level fees, call 1-888-FISHER-0 for your free guide. And as a bonus, we'll send you at no cost, Maximize Your Social Security for Retirement. See how your decisions now can affect this important source of retirement cash flow. Fisher Investments has helped thousands achieve a comfortable retirement.
You could achieve your investment goals without becoming your own worst enemy.
Call 1-888-FISHER-0. That's 1-888-FISHER-0.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime for help.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. Understand that the Facebook feed isn't quite working properly. We're getting a black screen with the slate and not the the picture of me, which some people would apologize for. Most people are thanking me that they don't see my face on the video. So, but glad that you are tuning in and listening as well. I want to talk about retail sector jobs for a minute, because it seems as if we're still losing retail positions. Now, underneath the headline numbers of what was a solid U.S. jobs report for September is a retail sector that's relentlessly shedding jobs with no end in sight. Last month, the U.S. economy added 136,000 jobs, with the unemployment level falling from 3.7 to 3.5%, its lowest level since December of 1969. But the embattled retail industry saw job losses that nearly doubled in September from August, reflecting a sector beset by bankruptcies, restructuring, and headwinds from the U.S. trade war. In a note to clients, Capital Economics Chief U.S. Economist Paul Ashworth noted that the decline in retail employment reflects structural change rather than cyclical weaknesses. All told, the retail trade shed 11,400 jobs in September, with most of that concentrated from the clothing and accessories business. The Labor Department showed much of that concentrated in clothing, down 14,000, which was partly offset by a 9,000-person job gain in food and beverage. But since reaching a peak of, in 2017 in January, retail trade has lost 197,000 jobs, the BLS stated. Forever 21 filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Global fast fashion retailer Forever 21 said it was filing for voluntary bankruptcy Sunday, the latest U.S. brick-and-mortar chain to embark on restructuring as shoppers migrate online. To be certain, retail is a sector undergoing deep and wrenching change amid a widespread shift to buying on the web. Malls and physical retailers have shuttered, and big retail chains, under fierce pressure from online retail giant Amazon, are consolidating. You continue to see this move to online shopping, Bank of America's chief U.S. economist Michelle Meyer told Yahoo's Finance the First Trade on Friday, underscoring why retail has been shedding workers for some time. The competitive environment is changing the workforce and showing up in the statistics, she added. People are just spending differently, and retailers are trying to accommodate that. It suggests the payroll data's weakness is more about the brick-and-mortar getting displaced by the rise of e-commerce than economic weakness. Key takeaway is along the lines of what investment bank UBS said in a note to clients back in April. At the time, UBS predicted that roughly 75,000 retail stores that sell clothing, electronics, and furniture would close by 2026 as e-commerce continues to gain share. The bank noted around 16% of retail sales are currently online, and that number is expected to grow to 25% of all retail sales in 2026. Breaking the forecasted 75,000 number further, UBS expects 21,000 apparel stores to close their doors, along with 8,000 furniture stores and 10,000 consumer electronics locations. The U.S. unemployment rate, which in September hit a 50-year low at 3.5%, does not offset this. Even still, consumers are certainly not slowing down. The National Retail Federation said it expects holiday retail sales to surpass 2018, with a forecasted increase between 3.8% and 4.2% to total between $727.9 billion and $730 billion. Nonetheless, this has clearly been a slowdown brought on by considerable uncertainty around issues including trade, interest rates, global risk factors, and political rhetoric. Consumers are in good financial shape, and retailers expect a strong holiday season. However, confidence could be eroded by continued deterioration of these and other variables. Despite the uncertainty surrounding the trade war and the tight labor market, the NRF expects retailers will staff up more than ever this holiday season. The NRF believes retailers will need 530,000 to 590,000 temporary workers this year versus just 554,000 last year. So we're going to see some seasonal hiring, a lot of it, about a half a million people in the retail sector. But again, those jobs are temporary. They're November, December, first 2 weeks of January, and then they're gone. So the unemployment rate could drop down a little bit further and then start to see a spike in the first quarter of next year. So something definitely to watch over the next couple of months. And then once we get into February, March, seeing where we're at economically as we talk about recessions. Again, I don't think it's happening anytime soon. Let's talk about social media for a minute. I have a letter, an email that I got from a gentleman who said that he's doing everything right. He's marketing, he's doing social media, he's on Facebook, and yet he doesn't feel as if his customers are staying with him. And so when we talked about this on the phone, I said, you know, what are you doing after you market? You know, are you calling to thank customers? Are you sending them a card or something, some way reminding them that you're here for them? And he said, well, not really. I thought marketing was just, you know, put it out there and see what happens. And that's not it at all. But now the question is, how can your social media activities help your customer retention? So does your customer retention plan include a social media strategy at all? Now, here's how social media can help your business retain customers. It's easy to understand how important customer retention is for small businesses. Holding on to customers lets business make the most of their marketing budgets and boost their profits. Creatively using social media builds customer retention, and it's a low-cost marketing technique that any business can use. So how do you go about using social media to build your customer retention? It's all about building relationships with people, and many believe there's no better way to do that than with social media. First, you're going to want to get to know your customers. New customers and visitors to your website are often anonymous. Even if they place an order, you likely have very little information about them. With social media, you can make a more personal connection with your customers and start to get to know them. Social media helps you learn about your customers' interests and backgrounds. If you want to know something specific, you can create a poll or ask questions through social media platforms. Once you get that information, then you can develop a targeted marketing strategy and messaging to better connect with your customers' interests, needs, and pain points. So use social media marketing to interact with your customers. It could mean giving a shout out to new Facebook followers, or it could mean reaching out to your LinkedIn company page audience by sending a short message introducing yourself. You want to provide, with your social media pages, real-time support. Customers are increasingly turning to social media channels for real-time support. Being active and responsive on these channels can help create a positive customer experience. Can a customer reach your business with a social media message about an issue or question about a product or order? If they can, you have a valuable chance to provide fast, responsive, and quality customer support. Even if customers don't reach out to your small business directly on social media, you can still use alerts so that you quickly know when your business is mentioned on social networks. Tools like Hootsuite and Google Alerts can ping you if your business is mentioned, allowing you to stay ahead of bad reviews or to thank current customers for sharing their positive experiences with your business. Funny story, last night we were at dinner, and my wife was saying something about she heard someone in her office say that they Google themselves, and she thought it was rather arrogant that you would Google yourself. I said, I Google myself and my business every week. And she goes, well, why would you do that? And she's not very into social media. She doesn't really hang out on Facebook or Instagram or anything like that. And I said, well, I have to do this. I said, I have Google Alerts set up, but I'm also checking when you do a Google search to see if I get a bad review. Unfortunately, we don't, but I want to make sure that if somebody's going to say something bad about us, that I get in front of it very quickly. I can't let it sit there for a month and then say, oh, I should check my Google My Business page. So that was why I do it. And she was like, wow, well, I never really thought of it like that. And I go, once you're on social media, you've got to be on social media. You've got to make sure you're constantly monitoring what people are saying about you. So quickly addressing customer concerns in real time through social tools can help you build customer loyalty through the social media platforms. Shows people you offer quality, responsive support. And this can be a key method in building trust in your business to both drive new conversions and increase customer retention. Now, you can also enhance your brand's positioning. Your business's social media management techniques can also enhance the brand's position, further building customer loyalty. When customers connect with a business, they may be more likely to support it. By using social media platforms to give life to your brand, you're giving customers more ways to connect with you and your company. One of your social media customer retention strategies can include behind-the-scenes posts to let your followers see the people and effort behind the company's daily operations. You can post content about the missions and values of your business and use content to showcase your products in action. Don't be afraid to get honest with some of your posts and let followers see the people and passion behind the brand. You want to get your audience involved as well. Get your audience communicating with your business. People love to talk about themselves, and letting your target audience do that can help increase customer retention rates. Customer engagement helps to personalize your brand and establishes connections and relationships with both influencers and other customers. Customers are increasingly turning to social media channels for real-time support, so being active and responsive on those channels can help create a positive customer experience. Don't forget that social media followers provide valuable information when it comes to developing and refining products and services. Ask them for feedback on social media and create surveys. Pitch new ideas to potential customers and your existing ones. This powerful type of market research can help you determine if you're onto a great idea or if you need to go in another direction. It also makes your customers feel like they're contributing to the business and that their voices are being heard. They may be more likely to become repeat customers when they have such a genuine connection with your business. And don't forget to listen. There's quite a lot of value in simply paying attention to your space. Many companies use social media listening tools such as Sprout Social, Brandwatch, or Meltwater to monitor customer opinion on their products and those of their competitors. Keeping track of how potential customers feel keeps you one step ahead with an eye on producing relevant strategies that will help you stay competitive in the future. So hopefully those are some tips that you can use in your business. And again, can't say it enough. If you're on, if you run a business, you need to be on social media. So make sure that you are doing that on a regular basis. We have some new overtime rules coming into effect in January of 2020. I'll have some tips on how you can prepare for that when we come back right after this.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Huntin' Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Huntin' Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad you could join me, you lucky dog. You like that lucky dog down in Florida, Larry Matei, when he's not tooling around his Corvette, which I hope is a rental, but if you own it, even better. He's just a great guy, and I'm very proud and happy to know him and glad we could reconnect last week at the Bridgewater Raritan football game along with my friend Dave DeLuca. A good time was had by all, and hopefully we will repeat that, and we won't wait 43 more years to do it. There is a new overtime rule going into effect January 1st of 2020. I'm not sure how other people feel about this, but I can tell you, the state of New Jersey is the absolute worst at communicating changes in employment law. I found this out through my membership through the Society of Human Resources Managers. But when the new tax or sales tax rate went into effect last time, it was never announced. So people for 3 or 4 months were overcharging people's sales tax. And then we got that resolved. Then a new minimum wage comes in and the state doesn't really blast that out, you know, to their member businesses. But, you know, now all of a sudden everybody has to play catch up in the minimum wage battle. So now with the new overtime rule coming into effect, I wanted to talk to you about how to prepare for this. I'll probably have another program on this as we get closer to the first of the year so that you're familiar with it. The Department of Labor has released a final rule that will increase the minimum salary requirement to be considered exempt from overtime under the Fair Labor Standards Act. The final rule takes effect January 1st of 2020. Here is a review of the new rules and guidelines to help you prepare. First of all, the FLSA requires covered employers to pay non-exempt employees at least the minimum wage for each hour worked, as well as any overtime pay for all hours worked in excess of 40 hours in a work week. Some states require overtime pay in additional circumstances. Then you're going to need to check your own individual state laws for more information. Now, what is an exempt employee? While most employees are non-exempt, the FLSA provides for exemptions from its minimum wage and overtime requirements for certain administrative, professional, executive, outside sales, and computer professional employees. These employees are known as exempt employees. And to be considered exempt, employees must generally satisfy all three of the following tests. The first is a salary level test. Employees must earn a weekly salary that meets the minimum requirements. Until January 1st, 2020, the minimum salary requirement is $455 per week for the administrative professional, including the salaried computer professional and executive exemptions. Then there's a salary basis test. With very limited exceptions, the employer must pay employees their full salary in any week they perform work, regardless of the quality or quantity of work. And the duties test. The employee's primary job duties must meet certain criteria. There's also an exemption for highly compensated employees who customarily and regularly perform at least one of the exempt duties. So what's changing? The minimum salary for administrative professional executive exemptions, effective January 1st, the minimum salary requirement for these positions is going to change. And instead of $455 per week, it's now going to be $684 per week, or equivalent to a $35,568 per year salary. That is a huge jump. So you now have to go back, look at your payroll reports, and know who's getting paid what, because there's a good chance that somebody who was at $30,000, $31,000 now and was exempt now wouldn't be exempt under those rules. This means that in order to qualify for one of these overtime exemptions, employees must be paid a weekly salary of at least $684 and continue to satisfy the applicable duties test. Exempt computer employees may also be paid hourly if it's at least $27.63 per hour, which doesn't change under the new rule. There's an inclusion of non-discretionary bonuses in the minimum salary requirement. Employers will be allowed to use non-discretionary bonuses, incentive payments, and commissions to satisfy up to 10% of the minimum salary requirements for the administrative, professional, executive exemptions, as long as these forms of compensation are paid at least annually. The final rule permits employers to make a final catch-up payment with one pay period after the end of the year to bring an employee's compensation up to the required level. For example, if an employer chooses this option, each pay period, the employer must pay the employee at least 90% of the salary level, or $615.60 per week. Then at the end of the year, the employee's paid out salary plus the non-discretionary bonuses and incentive payments. If it doesn't equal $35,568, the employer would have one pay period to make up that shortfall. There's an exemption for highly compensated employees. The final rule increases the total annual compensation requirement for highly compensated exemption to $107,432 per year. For the highly compensated employee exemption, employers are already allowed to include commissions, non-discretionary bonuses, and other non-discretionary compensation toward meeting the total annual compensation. There's no changes to duties test. Future minimum salary increases are also affected. It intends to update the minimum salary requirements more regularly using the same rulemaking process. What is the impact on exempt employees? If your exempt employees earn less than the new salary requirement, they will no longer meet exemption criteria and must be classified as non-exempt. This means that they would be entitled to overtime whenever they work more than 40 hours in a work week. An employee who meets all applicable exemption criteria, including the new minimum salary requirement, salary basis test, and applicable duties test, may continue to be classified as exempt. Some states have their own salary requirements, so you need to check with your individual state labor boards to find out if it impacts you. There are some options for compliance with the new federal rules. If your exempt employee's salaries fall below the new federal salary requirement, you will generally either have to raise their salary to the new requirement. If you like this option, review employees' job duties to ensure they continue to qualify for the applicable exemption, or reclassify the affected employees as non-exempt and pay them overtime whenever they work more than 40 hours in a work week. Here are some steps you need to take before January 1st, 2020. First, evaluate your options. There are calculators online that will help you estimate and compare the costs of the options covered above. Remember, you don't have to choose the same option for all employees. Depending on their typical work hours, it may make sense to reclassify some employees as non-exempt and raise other exempt employees' salaries to meet the new minimum. You need to communicate the changes with your employees, especially if you're changing their classification. Once you've decided what changes you will make, communicate them to impacted employees as early as possible, meaning like now. Check your state law for any specific time frames for providing such notice. You need to review your timekeeping practices. If you're going to be reclassifying employees to comply with the new rules, you have to ensure that your systems are in place to accurately record all work hours. Under the FLSA, hours worked includes not only time spent working, but also certain non-productive times such as rest breaks, travel time, and training time. Exempt employees may not be accustomed to tracking this time and may be used to working after hours. Train them on your timekeeping policies and procedures and expressly require employees to record all working time. You're going to implement those changes by January 1, 2020. Employees who are classified as exempt must receive a salary of at least $684 per week. However, many employers don't have work weeks that will begin on January 1, 2020, which is a Wednesday. In such cases, the best practice would be to implement salary increases at the beginning of the work week so that exempt employees are paid at least that $684 for the work week that includes time worked on or after January 1st. If you intend to apply non-discretionary bonuses towards meeting up to 10% of the salary requirement, make sure you provide the bonus at least annually. For employees reclassified as non-exempt, make sure you pay them at least the minimum wage for all hours worked and overtime whenever they work more than 40 hours in a work week. So we'll have more updates on this as we continue marching towards that January 1st, 2020 deadline. But this is an area where, again, businesses are going to get in trouble. So if you have a payroll service, ADP, Heartland, Paychecks, it would probably be a good conversation to be having with them to see what you're currently doing, compare current salaries of your employees or pay rates, and then making sure you're in compliance. If you don't know, you don't understand, don't guess. Make sure that you're doing everything properly, because if you get audited by the state, the fines are insane. So make sure that I'd rather spend a couple hundred dollars talking to my payroll provider and making sure I'm in compliance than spend thousands of dollars in fines or back wages because I didn't feel it was important enough. So you're going to want to make sure that you're checking with them as well, just to make sure that you're in compliance. And we can't all be expected to know everything about the laws affecting our businesses. Let the people who do this for a living, like ADP, Heartland Paychecks, or whatever payroll provider you use, do that for you. In sports, in Major League Baseball, the Yankees bunched their ticket to the American League Championship Series by defeating the Minnesota Twins 3-0. In other Game 5 action last night, the Cardinals beat the Braves to advance, the Nationals beat the Dodgers to move on, and tonight the Tampa Bay Rays play the Houston Astros in their Game 5. In NASCAR news, Kyle Larson won for the first time in 75 races last week to punch his ticket to the round of 8 in the NASCAR Monster Energy Series playoff. In Dover, Delaware, this week the teams will head to Talladega Super Speedway for the 1000bulbs.com 500 Sunday at 2 p.m. In NCAA football action, Alabama holds down the top spot of the AP Top 25 poll, followed by Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, and LSU. Oklahoma, Florida, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and Penn State round out the top 10. In the NFL, the Giants will play the Patriots tonight, the Eagles play the Vikings this Sunday at 1 p.m., and the Jets will take on the Cowboys at 4:25. The NHL regular season has begun, and the NBA preseason is underway. Before we sign off, I did want to take an opportunity to thank everybody for listening for the past 8 years. Those of you who have been with me from the beginning, those who are just tuning in, I definitely appreciate all of you listening. And please keep those emails coming to trophyjim@yahoo.com with suggestions on program topics. We'd be glad to get those on there for you. And again, thanks for making it such a wonderful experience working here at Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. And for more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimgano.com. I am Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Work out.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Reports of casualties after Turkey's new military operation was launched in northern Syria against the Kurds. The Trump administration is receiving backlash after President Trump made the decision to withdraw U.S. troops from northern Syria. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo explains that decision on PBS.
On Sunday night, it became very clear that there were American soldiers that were going to be at risk, and the president made a decision to put them in a place where they were out of harm's way.
ICE Acting Director Matt Albans is criticizing what he calls bad immigration laws.
U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement's ability to enforce immigration law has again fallen victim to judicial overreach.
Surrounded by several sheriffs at the White House on Thursday, Albans noted that ICE does not make the laws, and he calls on Congress to modernize immigration laws. And President Trump is holding a campaign-style rally in Minneapolis on Thursday night. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
Utility companies in California are doing what they can to help prevent wildfires. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's Wendy King.
California's largest utility has pulled the plug on about a million customers to prevent a repeat of wind-blown power lines sparking deadly wildfires. National Weather Service meteorologist Andrew Orison says the weather conditions are conducive to fires breaking out.
It's the low relative humidity and gusty winds that are expected. We will see conditions improve this weekend a bit, but at least in the short term, we do have concerns for fires out there. And this also stretches a little bit farther east, too, across portions of the Intermountain region as well.
Pacific Gas and Electric has already restored their service to about 50,000 customers in California.
General Motors announces on Thursday they've seen a 17.5% drop in sales in China, in part due to the trade war with the United States. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
California Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill into law which takes effect 2023, which will pay student athletes, essentially turning them into employees at their college or university. 2007 Heisman Trophy winner Tim Tebow joins Fox News and says, where does it stop ultimately, and that we need to find a middle ground.
But I think for me on this argument, it's such a big argument that you really want to see both sides of it, because there really are two sides. I think one side is to understand that these college athletes are doing so much for their university, and some of them are very famous, and they're making their universities a lot of money, and so we should be able to take care of them. But the other side is we don't want to turn college football into the NFL. Right. We still want to make it a student athlete first and be able to take care of our athletes. And so I try to see both sides. And so for me, I would love to come to a middle ground where we could put together TV money and give them stipends and support.